Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing.
Operator.
Testing.
You erased the whole.
Testing 1. This is an interview between Barak Rothenberg and Levi Smith, May 20th, 1984. Mr. Rothenberg, when and where were you born?
I was born in Poland, the city named Sandomierz. That's near the River Wisla.
How far is that from Warsaw?
It's far. And I was born in January 3rd, 1921. It was a nice historic town from the King Kazimierz. It was a synagogue. It was a very built synagogue that, and it was a lot of historic thing. It was a lot of towers. And it was a city hall called Magistrat. And it was a lot of Jewish organizations.
How many people lived in the town?
About around 800 Jewish families.
And how many Gentile families?
Maybe three times as much.
What occupation were your parents?
My father was a shoemaker. My father was a shoemaker, and when I finished school in 1938, I helped him to work with the in the shoemaker, fixing shoes. And during the summer, my father used to deal with the orchards. So in the summertime, he used to buy an orchard, and we used to move out in the orchard, and we lived all summer from the Shavuot holiday till the Rosh Hashanah and Kippur holiday. In the fall, we came home, and before the holiday, we moved back to the city.
You were harvesting fruit?
Yeah, we were harvesting. I mean, we went to the farm, and we bought the orchard, just the fruits, and then we picked the fruits, and we sold the fruits, and that we made a living during the summertime. And during the wintertime, my father used to fix shoes, or somebody wants to order new shoes, so he made to order new shoes too. And I helped him to fix the shoes. Oh, I didn't like this trade because he couldn't make a good living from it, only still was a trade.
What schools did you go to?
I went to public school.
And were the Jews and the Gentiles
mixed
together in
right,
the school?
Right, right. Jews and Gentiles was together, and we had a Haide, and we have 5-hour school. If I went to the Haide in the morning, I went in the afternoon in the public school. If I went in the morning in the public school, I went to the Haide in the afternoon.
What did you study in the Cheder?
Oh, we start Alevet, and then to Davening, and then we start Chibish, and then we start by Rashi. I didn't go higher than Chibish Rashi.
So at what age did you stop going to the Cheder?
Oh, I stopped by age, to the Bar Mitzvah, by age 13 I stopped. Oh, the Bar Mitzvah was not such a huge like we have it here in the United States.
What was it like in Poland?
In Poland was Monday or Thursday, we read the Torah. So we went in the shul, my father went in, and I got a Leah, and then he passed out the cigarettes to everybody, and a shot of whiskey, and a piece of liquor, and everybody wished me lots of luck, and that was the whole Bar Mitzvah. It happened in the Bas Medrash, only shul. Oh, we didn't make no parties at all. Maybe the higher class, the richer people, maybe they made parties. Oh, I don't remember from having such huge parties like we have it here in the United States. And the youth, when we were young, was a lot of Zionist organization. We had Akiba, we had Noah Tzioni, we had Maccabi Club. We played soccer ball. Here they call soccer ball, we call football. And we had the Beitar, the Revisionist. And we have a lot of, and Shabbat Chaim.
Were you a member of any?
Yeah, I belonged to three organizations. I belonged to Akiba, I belonged to Maccabi, and belonged to the Beitar.
What did you do in these organizations?
These organizations, we had a lot of knowledge about Palestine, and they were talking about Palestine. We, And we hope to go for Hashara to go to this time we had Palestine. Everybody, the youth want to immigrate to Palestine, only it was very difficult because if we got older, we had to go for 3 years of Hashara. Then when England issued certificates, we could go on those certificates to Palestine. Only the war broke out and that interrupted the whole thing.
Did you want to go to Palestine?
Yeah. Every young fella, every Beitar, every North Zioni, from Akiba, from Maccabi, everybody we were brought up so Zionist that everybody just hoped the day will come that we can go to Palestine. Now what we call Israel.
Was it, what were the living conditions in Poland?
The living conditions, we can say, was very bad. Only we didn't know better, so it was a normal living condition. For instance, a workman, like my father, shoemaker, we had 2 rooms. In one room, he fixed the shoes and was the kitchen. In the other room was the bedrooms.
We were
5 kids, and my father and mother, we were 7.
And you all slept in the same room?
Same room. So we had 2 beds, and we have 2, we call a shenik, made from straw, bags of straw. In the nighttime, we put it on the floor, and 2 kids could sleep on like a mattress. And during the daytime, we put it atop on the bed, and the bed was filled high, that's all.
Did you own this home, or were you renting?
No, we rented. We didn't own the home.
How was the home heated?
Home heated, coal, wood, coal, that was heated. And mostly, a lot of people own the homes, only they come from generation to generation, like they inherited from their grandparents, because if the son married, he stayed in the same house. If the daughter married, she stayed in the same house. But business people, so they moved out. Only but the workmen like carpenters, tailors, shoemakers, they were mostly not a third class. Well, we call ourselves not from the high class people, for the working class people.
I want to ask you again about the Zionist organizations. Did you practice any military in those organizations?
The Beitar. There was the movement from Jabotinsky. We practiced, although we didn't have no, we practiced, we were more like a military movement. So we had brown uniforms, we had black ties, and we sung military songs mostly. And we always was dreaming that we're going to fight for our fatherland, for our land. And that was more a military movement. And the other organization...
Did you have weapons? To
No kind of weapons. And we were more military.
How old were you when you joined Beitar?
I was about 13 years old. And I was in Beitar, and I was in Maccabi. I played soccer ball. And in Akiba, I liked it because I had a lot of friends and neighbors and friends, and we had all kind of meetings, all kind of lectures. Was very interested. We were poor or we were rich. And the other way, we were very rich because you didn't see it, a boy or girl be on the street. Everybody was busy. Or we had a meeting on Monday night or we had on Tuesday night. In the winter time, we went to on the slides. Our town was very hilly. We had big hills, so we went down with the sleds and then we walked up. And the life as a young fella was very interesting. Only we had troubles with the Gentiles. When we went to school, they accused us that we killed Jesus Christ. And they throw stones on us and sticks. So every day when we went to school or we walked out from the school, we had always wars. They always, and Poland was very anti-Semitic, and especially our hometown, we had 8 churches. And it was a very religious Catholic city. And so we always had to fight for existence. It was a soccer ball game. So they had they called themselves Selzi. That means young fellas before the army. and we the Maccabi, and we had a ball on Saturday or on Sunday. And if we lose, so they start booing us. If we won, they start hitting us. So we didn't know what to do, to lose the game or to win the game. We always were losers. Only we were raised and we went to school together and everything. Always they throw the last, the 1938 to 1939, they always, they were yelling, watch out, Hitler's coming on you, Hitler will come on you, Hitler will come on you. But we didn't know too much about Hitler, only they were threatening us. When came before the holiday, Christmas time, when the students from the universities, when they returned from Krakow, from Warsaw, and they used to wear all kind of caps, red caps was medicine or green caps, they used to wear such caps. They right away when they came home for the vacation, for the Christmas time vacation, they stayed by the Jewish stores and they told the Gentiles not to go into shop by a Jew, or we whoop shops by the Jews, the pigs. And then the little merchant person that was standing outside, he had a table with a few things for sale. They turned over those tables. And they always, we always had to struggle, always was.
What year was that?
That was in 1937, 38. In 1938, when the war broke out between Poland and Czechoslovakia on the Olze in Czechin, so they blamed, they wanted to take it back from Czechoslovakia, and they claimed that was a Polish territory, and some, a few Polish people got killed. So they mobilized all soldiers in 1938. I was a young boy, I was 17 years old. They mobilized in our hometown, was stationed the army, and they mobilized all the people, older Jewish people, younger, married, with three, four children. They mobilized everybody, and they went to war. It last about two, 3 weeks. And still, when they were fighting up Chechens or Olze, that was something from the Germans already starting to do. So to fight, they organized, they drafted the Jews to fight. And when they had a demonstration, and when we said we go against Germany or against Litva, when Poland was fighting that Litva should belong to Poland, right away, they started howling against the Jews. Right away, they broke the windows from the stores, from the storekeepers. And we were Polish citizens, and we were supposed to fight with them hand by hand and go against Litva and against Czechoslovakia. And when we had demonstrations in the street, so right away they said, Prince Judami, and right away they were against us, and they were breaking the store windows and robbing, and that's all. That was the Polish people.
Were there local police there?
Was there maybe a half a dozen local police, so they hide themselves, they should get beat up.
Did you have Gentile friends when you went to school?
Yes, we were living, in fact, I was living in a Gentile neighborhood. We had a few, but about half a dozen Jewish neighbors. Well, most of us Gentile in a Gentile neighbor on the street named Jeromski, a big writer, Polish writer. And that was on this street was a gymnasium, and in the time when the students start going to the gymnasium, was impossible to cross the street because when they recognize that I'm Jewish, or they throw snow, when it was wintertime snowballs, or they throw stones or sticks on me.
How would they know that you were Jewish?
They recognized. They knew it. I was dressed not religious because I was dressed plain. A jacket and a pair of pants and a pair of shoes, or they recognize who's Jewish and who's not.
Do you know how long that your family lived in Poland?
My family lived there, but I can go back about 120 or 130 years. My first great grandfather, his name was Eddie Yedel Rottenberg, and he was a merchant on the River Wisla. He used to sell wheat because our city was bordering with Austria.
So you were in the south of Poland?
And we were Russia, and the other side of the river was Austria. And then my grandfather was born maybe in the 1800s, in 1850, maybe 1860. So he was a merchant himself too. Then in 1905, he came to the United States, my grandfather, to Detroit. And my father had brothers, they came to the United States. Only my grandfather was very religious, and he wrote a letter to my father. He said not to come because the United States is not as religious as at home. So my father held back and he didn't come. Oh, he had two brothers and a sister, but they came to the United States, and I had a lot of living in Detroit from the Rattenberg family.
How many brothers and how many sisters did you have?
I had four brothers and one sister. So my oldest brother, he was born 1917. He was a tailor.
What was his name?
Yedel Eddie. In Jewish was Yedel, and here they translated to Eddie. Then I was born 1921, Bail, so Barak. Then I had a sister, Laya. Then I had a brother, Wolf Zelig. Then I had another brother, Leibish, Gedalia, named after my grandfather.
And your mother's family, how long had they lived?
My mother's family, they lived a long time, only they lived in another town called Ozerov. And not far, about 27 or 30 kilometers from my hometown. And they lived there. We all were from generations, generation from Poland.
What language did you speak in the house?
Yiddish. Yeah. We speak Yiddish and Polish. Or in the house, we didn't. On the street, we spoke Polish. Or in the house, we just Yiddish. And usually in Poland, from the working class, we all use Yiddish language, and even middle class. Or the high intelligence, like they went to college or the universities or something, they tried to assimilate themselves. So they start speaking Polish between themselves. Only mostly in Poland, the Jewish people use the language Jewish. That was their mamalusian.
How many synagogues were in your town?
Was main synagogue the shul, then was the Bas Medrash, was connected, and then was Lade Stieber, that means they belonged to rabbis. So there was Lade rabbis, and we had Lade Hasidim, where they belonged to the rabbis. So every week, almost, every few weeks, a different rabbi came to town. So we, like my father was a Mojitzer Chusid. And this
Mojitzer?
Mojitzer. The Mojitzer Chusid was very famous for songs and music. He was very, and he was not far from my home, from Ozhev. And then there was a lot of rabbis. How many rabbis was in Poland? So they had Hasidim in our hometown. When they came, was Heimlich, was the city was in action.
What was it like?
I used to love it. I used to love it when a rabbi came. He stayed by his chosid. Then after davening, Friday night, we went home, and my father made kiddush, and we ate the supper, and then we all returned to the Bas Medrash. And then the rabbi sat down by a big, long table, and his chassidim, was sitting around the table. And then he made kiddush, and he gives shchayim. That's when he made the moitzah of the challah, or a piece of fish, and then when the shchayim went hand for hand. Like, for instance, if you sat at the end of the table, so they didn't serve you with a plate, or went from hand to hand to hand to hand to come to you. And that was very nice, and then the rabbi started, he gave a nice schmooze, and he was very interested, and we spent almost the whole Friday night just being in Bas Medrash to listen to each week or each few weeks other rabbis came to town. It was a very religious town. We had a Ger Rebbe, we had a Moshe Rebbe, we had, I don't remember to mention, we had our own rabbi too. He was living in Warsaw, or he was a native from my hometown, from Zorzma.
Did you ever travel to other cities to see the Rebbe?
To me, no. if the rabbi, the Moshe rabbi, when he came to our town, he had a sister-in-law, the Vilchiks, and then he didn't go to Bas Medrash. He catered in his house because he invited so many Hasidim to his sister-in-law's house, and we spent the Friday night with the rabbi.
And what did you do on Shabbos day?
Shabbos day was that everybody had to go to shul. And after shul, so everybody had to go to shul. Only
the women, the women too?
Naturally, the women, the men, the children, everybody. You didn't see not one child on the street. If you saw a child on the street, if some passed by or a relative or a neighbor, he was wondering, hey, what are you doing on the street? So everybody know who you are, even you knew who your father is and who your grandfather was. So it was no other place than only to go to shul on Shabbos. Only when lately, we like to go play football Saturday morning. So if the father didn't see us, so everybody together in the shul, he came after us. And I can imagine when he came after us, there was, we ran away or we were hiding, or when he returned the shul, we were already there. Because it was a style in Europe that every family had a seat, like a stuart, we call a stuart. And this seat went over from generation to generation. So we had to be on this seat. We had two seats or three seats or four seats. The family had to be on this seat. Or sometimes we changed those seats, not everybody could sit around. Only this seat was already from great-great-grandfather. It was going over to generation to generation. So if somebody missed, or he was sick, or he was out of town, or he went to play soccer ball, or we had a river, this time he went to ice skating on the frozen river, there was a was very, very unpleasant thing. And then if you went to hide it, Saturday afternoon, I had to go to the rabbi, back to in Bas Medrash, and he heard what I learned all week, that he settled in. I mean, the life was very interested. It was another thing more interested, that we had children. That was a delicacy for Shabbos. So that when the baker, when he baked the challis, when he baked the bread and the challis and everything, the oven was hot. So everybody took the children. So I was already selected to this job to carry the pot to the baker. There was no name written. Everybody had the same paper atop on this cracked pot, and everybody had the same rope roped around in the cracked pot. And he put him in about 100 pots in the oven. And after we went back, after davening, when we returned home, every boy or girl would stop in to this bakery to pick up the children. Everybody recognized his pot. Sometimes we exchange, you know, we could make a mistake too. Only that was the children was a tradition, or was potatoes, or was groats, and kasha, with bones, with meat, or potatoes with meat. It was a very interesting, the children was a tradition, a Jewish meal that, the interesting is, was not numbered, was no initialed, and everybody recognized their pot. The old pots almost looked alike.
Let me ask a religious question. Was it okay to carry the cholent from the bakery home
on Shabbos, yes. Yes.
What did your mother do?
And my mother was a housewife. She had plenty to do. She was two rooms. Only then when my sister was already a girl about 10 years old, so I remember the bedroom, like we call here, was a wooden floor, was red, with red paste, pasted the floor. Nobody could go in during the day to this room. And my mother worked in the kitchen, and she had to do. Monday was the worst day in my life, because my mother had to wash clothes. It's not like in the United States, you're putting in the wash machine. Although you had to bring out a balia, there was a big tub, a wooden thing, and I had to go bring water. It was about 2 miles to go to bring the water. I had on the shoulder to carry with two chains, two pails, because I was the second one for my brother, and then I couldn't send my sister for the to bring the water, so I was elected already. And when came Monday, I said to God, why is Monday? Because when my mother had to wash it. She had to boil it, she had to rinse it, and again rinse it, and so was she had to need maybe about 20 pails of water or maybe more. And in the wintertime, it was not with a handle, it was knocked out a hole, and we had to throw in the pail and to pull out with a rope to pull out the water. So when the ice was frozen, we had to knock it out a hole and then take the pail and throw it in and pull out by the rope to the pails of water. So I had to bring again and go again and again and again.
Did your family have a car or a horse?
No. We didn't have even a bicycle.
What did you do on Sundays when you were young?
Yeah, Sunday, every Sunday was just, so we went to Maccabi. Maccabi had a nice local, and we played ping pong. And it was libraries. We could go in the library. We could read a Jewish book. And that was always something. Always something was a Jewish play from some organization, from the Ratzioni, from the Maccabi, or from the Bitar. And when we were young, I didn't enjoy too much my youth because in 1939 the war broke out. I was 18 years old, so I didn't enjoy too much. I got caught between. So that was, the city itself was such a nice city that was just, was places to go. It was a beautiful park, usually an orchestra or for the army or some for the firemen or for somebody, some volunteers, they came to the park, they sat on the benches and they played beautiful music and the people sit and listen to the music or we walked around or if not, we didn't have so much this anti-Semite to chase us or to fight with us, we could spend the Sunday with the Gentiles. Or if somebody stood up because they had young fellows by us, we named him Eunuch. The Eunuch, the young fellows, they used to make, they were drafted, they were wearing uniforms, or they had shovels. And they were working all week and put the, between, under, by the water, they put the dirt so the water be not overflowing.
A dike.
Dike. They used to work all week in this place. And Saturday, they got paid a couple zlotys, and they thought that they went to town, and they got so wild that we saw them coming, so we had to hide it. Only lately, so when one could chase but 10 boys, or lately, one fellow, when he turned around, he could chase 10 of them. So we had a serious fight with them, and we won a lot of fights. My father had a friend, he just died in Toronto, his name was Yuko. And he used to, by trade, he used to ride a horse and buggy. He used to have a horse from the railroad station into the merchandise. And he was a very strong man. If he saw them coming, he turned around and he pulled out a piece of wood or something, what he could catch in his hands, and just the heads were flying. If they saw him coming, so instead they chasing us, we chased them. Oh, we had always something exciting go around. So, Jewish people, usually we were not known for fighters. We always were busy with lectures, or he came up Baldauche, and he was preaching in the best matters, Baldauche.
What's that?
A lecture. Baldauche is like he was not a missionary. Or he came, sometimes he collect for orphans, or he collect for some yeshivas, he collect for some other institution, for Jewish institution, or for KM for Israel, to buy the land in Israel, in Palestine, you know. And we always had something, and we always, it was not a bored day. If somebody wanted to if somebody like this collective life to come together. If you always find after work, or if we went to school, we had homework, or we had to go to Heide, then always something. Or if somebody want to play games, like we could play in domino, or we could play shach, you know, or Taranitsky, they call it here bingo.
Shach is chess.
Shach is chess, yes. And we didn't spend too much on the street. Like we were mostly located in the organizations. We had so many organizations in the, was not, we always were the same girl or the same boy could belong maybe to 2-3 organizations. Oh, you belong to Noah Tzion, oh, you belong to Maccabi, you belong to the Betar, and we always met together and always lectures in or people from another town or people. Hometown, we had very educated people. Their name was Mintz, was a very educated person. You always got something to lecture. And I used to love to listen to the, about the Jewish history, or I used to love about the Zionist movement, about Dr. Herzl. I always was interested about Jabotinsky. I was always interested to hear about the Zionist things. I was brought up mostly Zionist.
What occupation were you going to do if the war hadn't come?
The war would not have come, or we were hoping to go to the United States. Because my father had two brothers and a sister, and I had a lot of cousins and uncles. Only the difficulty way was that I had a brother, but he went to the army in 1939.
In Poland?
In Poland. And he went to 1938, 1937, we were writing letters to our relatives. My mother had a sister in Montreal in Canada. We wrote letters and begged him how maybe they can save him, maybe they can bring him over to the United States. Or the quota was so used out to come to the United States was very difficult. Well, we had to go maybe through Cuba or maybe through different other ways or direct from Poland was very hard. Or the time was so short, he was drafted in the army and he came out from the army, he didn't serve too long in the army because the war broke out. In the war, the army didn't last too long either. So he went in, and I think he spent maybe about 3 months in the army, and then he came home. And he couldn't make it to the United States. He was a very handsome, we all were, not that he had to be a tailor or had to be a shoemaker. We could do something, only the thing is, the immigration was so difficult. Even after the war, when I was liberated and I stayed in Italy, and I registered in the American Embassy to come to the United States, and I had 5 affidavits from a cousin from New York and from relatives here. They sent me affidavits and they all guaranteed for my everything. And still when I went to Naples to the American Consul to find out when can I come to the United States, they said the Polish quota is so used out that who knows how long I have to wait. Or thank the President Truman, but we celebrate today his 100th birthday. Thank the President Truman, he allowed it. I don't know, 500,000 displaced person to come to the United States. I was from the first one to come to the United States from the displaced person in 1949. If not President Truman, we not allowed that this displaced person, I would have to stay and wait till today to come to the United States. The Polish quota was the user. The best quotas was the Russian quota, the German quota, the Hungarian quota. Those quotas was not used. So a lot of it, after we got liberated, who wants to come to the United States? They said they were born in Germany and they lived in Poland, or they were born in Hungary, they lived in Poland, or they were born in Russia and they were lived in Poland. In this way, they were the first to come to the United States.
Let's go back to 1939. Can you describe the events that led up to the war in your town?
Fine. They came in, it was 1939, when they came into our hometown. That was about the 15th of September. The war was already about 2 weeks. And when they marched in, I saw him with his standing on those jeeps with his machine guns pointing up and down. Our city was a little up the hill. And the first one was Herschel Levy. He was shot. The first one but he was interested. He was to see those Germans marching in, and he was hiding behind a big door, looking out, looking in, looking out, and they shattered the door and they killed him. It was a big, the first, he got killed. His name was Herschel Levy.
How old was he?
He was in his 30s.
Why did they shoot him?
Because they were, maybe they themselves were afraid of the Germans, because he was looking down, looking out in the side door, looking in and looking out how they driving by, and they saw somebody, so they shot him. Then it was very, very, we lived by a river, so the Polish army went over the bridges and they sat in the other side town, and this side town, and there were big fights through this river Wisla. And finally the Germans chased the Poland over, and then the Poland chased the Germans over, and then the Germans finally captured them, and they blew out those bridges. We had one bridge where the train went by, and one bridge with the horse and buggies and civilian, but we could walk to this bridge, and that was blown up. So when they came in, so right away, they presented, so the right away they organized a Judenrat.
What's that?
A Judenrat is like a Jewish council, and they took 10 best people, like a doctor, or a lawyer, or a businessman, they made them responsible. If something may happen, or the German will get killed or something, those 10 people are responsible for those people. And then this Judenrat elected a president, and we were right away, when they established themselves, there was some shooting going on, and a few got killed accidentally, and then they grabbed us on the street, took us to work. So I remember they grabbed me to work to clean up the river, because the bridge was bumped, so we had to pull out the dead horses, we had to pull out the dead people and the dead cows, and that was very, it was rotten, because the posts that were standing from the bridge, and when the water was still, so the horse was wringled around like a tire around. I remember I had to cut a horse in half. I had to sit on the horse and take a hatchet, cut it through the half and tie up the rope on the legs and drown him or pull him out from the water. And that was the first when they came. Then they claimed that a German officer got killed, that the Jews killed the German officer, and they took us the whole city, mostly men and boys, and married men, they released, or they took us, and we marched Polish soldiers, they captured the prisoners, and us civilians, and they marched about 45 kilometers. Dusty roads, was hot. I remember that was in September, before the Rosh Hashanah and Kippur holiday. The dust in the roads was not paved, and we walked to this place, and then we had to march, and who couldn't catch up with this marching, they had the bayonets on their rifles, and they poked us, and we came into one place by halfway called Wlostów. Over there they manufacture sugar, and we stayed over there, and right away a Polish officer spoke fluently German, and he came out, and we hollered, "Water, water, water." When we marched, we hollered water, so the farmers ran out with pails of water. They were shooting on those farmers. They didn't let him reach to us with the water. So finally, when we came on the place, they promised us when we reach the place, when we get water, we get water, and they didn't give us no water. So one, his name was a young fella, nice fella. He stood up. He said, "I want water." And he was shot. His name will come to me. He was shot, and they said, "We can help him with nothing. He was bleeding all night to death, and we couldn't help him. We couldn't put out even a piece of rag on him to stop the bleed, the bleeding." Finally, in the morning, we had. Well, I always remember his name. Finally, in the morning, we had to get up, and to come to this destiny in the place called Zochchin, that by 10-15 one city was Opatov, and from Opatov we had to reach to this place Zochchin. When we came to the Zochchin, over there we stayed. It was a big huge farm, and we stayed over there over a week, and the lot got killed over there. Then we had to take off the hats and burn, make a fire, and dance around this fire. It was like a death dance or something. And in the nighttime, they used to take up young fellas digging holes, and then morning they shot the people and they throw them in the holes. That was something scary. And I was a young fellow, I was 18 years old. It was very scary.
How did they get you?
Just from the street.
They just
from the street,
you?
From the, they walk in from the houses. So happened that and then was an order. If my brother was hiding in the basement, by a relative, so it was an order. If we don't come out on this marketplace, called some a marketplace by the city hall, and in 10 minutes later they will go in house by house, basement by basement, they will search. Who they gonna find hidden, they're gonna kill it on the spot. So people where they were hiding, they all came out from the hiding places, and everybody, they didn't take my father, or they took me with my brother, and we marched to this place, to Zochchin.
Just the Jews?
Just the Jews. Only the front was the soldiers, the prisoner soldiers, was Jewish prisoners, it was Gentiles. They marched first, and we had to follow them.
What about your younger brothers?
They were too young to be taken to this first march.
And the women they left alone?
The women they left alone, by the first march. And we came over there and we stayed over a week before the holidays. Before the Rosh Hashanah holiday, they released us. Somebody said that the archbishop from our hometown was a German descent. And the Jewish people went to the archbishop, the fathers, the mothers went to him. And he had something to do with it that they released us for the holidays.
And so then you went home.
Yeah, we went home. So I remember that there was a highway about 45 miles or 40 kilometers. And the highway was from both sides, the fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers came from this side and we came from this side. And the merging was on the highway. The whole highway was full of people. The Simcha was so excited, you know, when we were, because they didn't know what they're going to do with us. Rumors was that they're going to shoot us out, and they're going to send us out to Germany. They're going to do all kinds of things. But finally, we got released. When we got released, so we started the trouble.
Were you marched out there by the German army or by the Gestapo?
I think it was by the army. We saw German soldiers, we couldn't tell. Later on we knew who the SS were, who the Wehrmacht was, and who the SD was. At the beginning, Germans, they all were, the uniform, they all were mean, and just the look on them, you got scared. You couldn't walk on the sidewalk, you had to get off on the sidewalk, you had to take off your hat. For each German, there's no difference. Or he was a Gestapo, or he was a Wehrmacht. Now they're making differences. Or the Wehrmacht was better than Gestapo, or the Gestapo was better. They all were alike. To me, when he was a German, when he was wearing the uniform, he filled out the command like everybody else.
So what happened next in your town?
Then in our town, so it happened that that right away start, his name was Gödel Redelman, and he organized he was the organizer, like an employment office. He went to the Germans, to the Gestapo, and he told them, look, how many people you need? You need 500 people? Don't grab the shoemaker with the tailor, with the carpenter, but you have to make a living. Just come to me, give me an order for 500 people, I will give it to you. So he made a list for all Jewish men from 10, 12 years to 65. And when they told him we need 300-400 people, so he went and he had already helpers, and he sent out the names, and he came over to you and he says, look, you have to go to work tomorrow.